Loveline, coast to coast.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, we're elated to welcome David Alan Greer to the radio program.
I'm back up in here. Oh, hey, Dr. Drew, how you doing, baby? Nice being up in here, Loveline.
Does his soul get periodically possessed or something?
I always come to visit my buddies.
Yep, Geraldine possesses his soul.
Hey, you talk about Geraldine. That was fine theater. Flip Wilson never honored for the Geraldine in him.
Really?
Right. Is Flip still alive, by the way?
No. Flip flipped on to the...
He moved on to the other side?
He did. He's telling jokes in the sky now.
Well, I don't know how far up in the sky they are, but...
How you fellas doing, baby?
We're doing good. We're doing good,
nice!
Dave. David Alan Greer, dear friend of mine.
Three dears.
Uh-oh.
He's a dear
that's
friend of
sex,
mine.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Adam and I, man, we box, baby. Dr. Yeah. Drew, I come in. Dr. Drew's like, he's getting his neck rubbed. He's like, ew, I punched a bag with Adam and my neck is crooked.
And David's, he's got some boxing skills.
He says
I
he can't
pull bang me. Bang with me.
He goes, how old are you? I'm 42. He's too old. Can't do it. Can't do it anymore.
Well, you
he goes,
know what?
My doctor says I can't do it anymore. That's
it's true because all of the years of back pain, I have an actual back injury.
So that's why he couldn't call
squished.
You, Adam. He didn't call you back.
But I box through it, don't I?
Yeah.
Don't I? I do. I don't sit up in here
David,
having something rubbing on me.
That's why you didn't call him back, Adam?
I gotta be honest. Hold on a second.
Hold on there, Adam. I didn't know I'd be a tag team since I walked in the door.
No, this is not a trial.
Well, you know, I sure do feel like OJ right about now, and I thought my buddy Dr. Drew was going to come to my aid.
I thought he liked you, too. I don't know
but
why
he turned on you. But you gut punched me as soon as I walk in the door, Dr. Drew.
Yep. Little shot to the kidneys.
It's true.
David Alan Greer has serious boxing skills. Now, I'll be honest.
Uh-oh.
I've worked with a lot of guys in my day. I've held the focus gloves for many a champion. David's had some good days. He had some bad days. But on his good days, he's got some, good endurance, good hand speed, good pop in his punches. Yeah.
Tell him what I do. I always try and, he always holds the bag. He always holds the focus mitts for me first. And I'm like, all right, man, I'm up and out of here, man. I guess. I'm like, no, wait, no. Stand there. Hold on. Four more rounds.
Then he takes your shoulder, arm right off your shoulder. Yeah.
He's got issues. Adam's got issues.
David's a man on the go, though. He shows up, and when he shows up, the first thing he does is tell you why he has to leave early. And then he complains because there's no black man music on the CD.
Yeah, but you have, Disco Carpenters 2000.
He has Deep Purple, Highway Star. I've boxed him before.
The worst music.
Leonard Skinner.
That's at the party house. I don't have the selection.
And
of
that's
music
another
over
thing.
There.
Every time I come to that house, it looks like you just had some butt naked partying going on. Never invites me. There's always, little maraschino cherries half full, little dessert trays all around. I'm like, Adam, what went down? He goes, nothing. Hey, let's box.
Nothing you need to know about. Let's get busy.
Yeah, I'm a little hungover from last night. What happened last night, man? Nothing.
Where's your heavy bag in that house?
It's in the, I got a workout room. That's where David and I work out.
Yes.
But I hold the focus gloves for him. And I'm ready to get back into it, David, if you
all right, man. I'm ready now. This is my commitment from this day forward. Now, let me give you some boxing advice, Dr. Drew. Adam goes, I go, Adam, do you run? Get your... you see my legs? See, I'm jumping up and down. I'm scooting away from you. Now, watch. I did a little turn there. That's road work. That's road work, okay? You move around like that for 3 or 4 hours. That's road work.
Bend your knees. That's all you need. Well,
nice.
Let's talk about DAG, by the way, and get our plugs in.
It's just some old network star vehicle that I'm in, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to linger on that.
Tuesday nights, 8:30 NBC.
It's going to be with us again.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I'm buying stuff, man.
Yeah,
I got to, I went down to the Ferrari dealership, and I was like,
really?
Do you have a convertible?
No.
Can you make that one a convertible? No, I didn't go out like that.
No, he's like all the brothers. He drives a huge SUV.
I know, but inside it's got a hot tub. I got Shaq's old load.
Do you still have David's song from last time he was on this show?
I don't even remember that.
Oh, this
came
good
out
one.
Of me.
Here it is.
Like a little plop here, a little skeet there. Skeet, 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 skeet everywhere. Everybody, skeet, skeet. That's how you do your three sums with me.
Oh, my Christ. I just looked down.
Manic rage.
I just looked down, saw the punch list here, and saw that David is racing in the Long Beach Grand Prix this Saturday in the celebrity race. Who else is in that celebrity race?
A lot of very big celebrities. Guy named Eric, you know that guy from ER?
Yeah.
Billy Blanks is racing. Blanks is racing. Josh Brolin, the winner of last year's.
Right.
Piper Parabo, little cute little Piper Parabo.
Yeah,
shout out to Piper Parabo. Hey, baby, how you doing? Love you, Dumplin'.
She's a household name, that one.
Oh, she's fat.
And now, what about...
Let's pump the brakes here and pull over now.
What about the other black guy from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? What's his name?
Oh, are you talking about Alfonso Ribeiro?
Yeah, who races like every year instead of me.
No, he was racing professionally. He came over to visit when we were training.
Really?
Absolutely. He has his own car.
Oh, my God.
You know, he came over like, you know, and he
used to win this thing all the time.
Oh, yeah, I raced 1 year with him. And
who else is in this?
Jim Kelly.
Never heard of him.
We have Dara Torres.
Don't know who that is.
Well, she
won about 4 or 5. I'm dying to do this race.
Listen, I'm going to campaign on your behalf, Adam, because there's nothing more fun than the Toyota Grand Prix. It is fabulous. It's wonderful.
What speeds do you get up to on that track?
All right, I was over there at Long Beach a few days ago. We were doing our first test run on the big track. Well over 100 miles an hour.
Really?
Yeah, you don't really have time to look at the speedometer.
Now, what are you driving? Are you driving?
We're driving Celicas. Everybody drives a Celica. It has the racing seats and the belts. I don't know exactly. They say they're stock, but they're a little tricked out for racing.
They give them like an air filter, an exhaust system, or something like that. Yeah, they tweak them a little bit.
It's nice. I know, because when you drive around, you get the racing car sound, because as an actor, it's all about appearances for me.
I'm barren.
I'm barren. Nothing but cobwebs in my soul. Yeah. But outside, baby, look out!
What soul, by
the way? Look out! You see my facial hair?
Yeah.
I look like a homeless man, don't I?
What are you on, hiatus or something?
Oh, I'm on heroin, my friend. It's better than hiatus. That makes every day a hiatus. I'm getting ready for a film, actually. I'm going to do a film called Boss Lear.
I see.
It's an adaptation of King Lear. No laughs in there, my friend. Just drama.
When is that coming out?
Oh, I don't know. You know half the stuff you do it. You don't know when it's coming out.
Well, that's a good point, although I don't do half the stuff.
You know, let me ask you something, Mr. Philosopher. Mm-hmm. When you're eating a big T-bone steak and enjoying it as it goes down, do you ever ask yourself, hey, when's that coming out?
Oh, yes, he does. He's planning for it.
That is a very good point.
Adam, I don't mean to jump the gun here, but Dr. Drew gave me some medication for my stomach, because you know I have a squeezy stomach, Adam, from last time. So let's kind of steer clear of the butt stuff.
Okay.
Oh, right. Remember this?
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, Dr.
Last
Drew.
Time David came on, he got a little nauseated because I was talking about something.
Okay, hey, let's... I don't think everybody needs to know exactly what you were talking about.
I'm not going to get into detail. Okay, I can't remember if we were talking about Extraman or felching or something.
Oh boy.
Something that had to do with the anus. I mean, you know what felching is. That's when semen goes into the anus.
Somebody sucks it out.
Yeah. Now, I've heard they do it with a straw. Sometimes, and I don't understand that kind of thinking. I mean, even amongst the homosexual community, I mean, what would be a turn on about retrieving one's semen from an anus? Now hold on a second, there. I just want to get to the bottom of this. I mean, are they ingesting the semen?
Step up to it. Maybe they first just do it by themselves.
Let us finish this conversation real quick. So, are you saying they
first jacked it on like a tile, sink counter, and then...
Oh, that how they retrieve the semen.
They practice with that.
It has a sort of a milk consistency. Or sort of, is it thick like tapioca? David, are you all right?
Oh, I just found that mercury head dime. I lost it 7 long years ago.
You okay, buddy?
Oh, I'm all right. Guys, please, can we change the subject? I'm here to heal some babies.
Okay. Let's go to call.
Sorry, Jack. But Drew, you want your pill back? Because it's right here.
Oh, there it
table.
Is. Oh, yeah,
it's
nice.
I just had a real quick question for Drew.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the semen mixes in with people matter?
It all comes back?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, could so you get some traces of fecal matter in this thing when you withdrew it? Is that possible?
So it'd all be sort of tapioca.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it would, but it'd be a browner. Okay. David, you okay? We're gonna... Hey, all right,
buddy. Oh,
and I'm sorry.
I just want to... Hold on.
We just want to get the bottom...
Can I get a mop and a bucket in here? Because...
We just want to get the bottom of the felching thing. I just didn't know how it worked. That's
okay, here we go. Go to call.
Add some incense.
Let's take some calls. Go on, there we go. Carrie?
Oh, I hope
Carrie, yeah, you're 21.
Yes.
Yeah, David Allen Greer is our guest.
How you doing?
Maybe
hi, David Allen Greer.
Yeah, we upset him. I'm sorry. Happens every time.
I'm having to hang an IV. It's getting so fun to play this.
I am so lightheaded right now. What's your problem?
I'm sorry, Carrie. Go ahead.
It's all about you, girl. What's up?
I have had a lot of sexual partners, and no one's ever been able to make me come. Neither men nor women. Only I can make myself come.
Mm-hmm.
You do that in the presence of these people, or do they?
No. I'm too embarrassed to do that.
And do they?
Do you use a vibrator, or do you use your own tongue?
No, I use my hands. I use my fingers.
I see. And could you do that when you're with a man? I mean, what if a man was in you and you used your fingers?
I mean,
No, it has something to do with the way I can only do it if I, like, tighten some of my leg muscles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it has to have, like, some kind of bodily tension to do it.
Can't you figure out, have you been in a relationship where you can sort of figure this out with someone?
No, I haven't had, like, very long, like, trusting relationships with anybody because it's kind of, because I can't, you know, it's hard to get close. I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
Never-
well, that's what you need. You need to work it out.
Yeah. Why can't you have a relationship?
But even, I was with a guy for 7 years on and off, and I was so in love with him, and I wanted to marry him, and I still couldn't.
How old are you?
21.
She's 14.
What?
21 years old. With a guy... 7 years on and off?
From when I was 14 to like when I was 20.
But the point is you were pretty young when you were sort of infatuated with this guy. You didn't have a real relationship. You need to have a real relationship where you can feel open and trusting and try to figure this out with someone. At least the fact that you can do it by yourself means you should be able to figure it out in some capacity.
Did he break wind in front of you?
If you're too embarrassed to do it in front of someone else, then you'll never be able to do it. You know?
But you need that every...
David dishing you a challenge, I think.
Yeah.
I want you to come in this studio, little Miss Fancy Pants, and diddle that love button till your head pops off. Now get in here. Sick of it.
Carrie, find one guy and work the beats out, so to speak, with him. Okay. All right. All right, good times.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Man, I just, you know, I got past the whole sickness thing, but I just want to say I love you, Adam, man. I love you, Dr. Drew, man.
Good to have you back, David.
Good. Oh, this is nice. Let's heal some babies, okay.
All right, here we go. Alfredo?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, you're 17. What's going on?
Before I ask my question, I just want to say, like, Adam, I'm a very long, very long time listener, like, first-time caller, and, like, I act like you, and we have, like, the same, like, I have the same humor as you. It's, like, so funny every night.
You're gay.
I can't go to sleep without it.
Thank you. What's your question?
Well, like, it's not really a question, it's a situation. It's, like, I walked in on my dad whacking off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's kind of awkward.
Paint the scene for us. What happened?
Well,
David, you are really an insensitive guy. I didn't know that. I'm sorry you've been sick.
It's very traumatic.
But
the
nurse, turn the IV up, please.
I'm going to tell you right now.
125 cc's now.
I'll tell you right now, if I ever caught my father whacking off, he'd get a standing ovation from me, because I'd be really impressed.
Yeah, I would, too.
Well, at his age.
I don't think my dad has a penis. My dad's penis was confiscated when I was 8. He hasn't seen it since.
That's how he's able to wear those tie-up pants.
Yeah. Oh. Those fashionable pants.
Have you guys gotten joke writers? Because it's marvelous material. Sorry. Go ahead, Adam. I didn't mean
that. Not as good as your men on film.
Two snaps.
Woo! Two snaps and a gerbil.
So, Alfredo, set the scene.
Alfredo.
What happened?
Well, like, I'm walking out of my room, and, you know, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And I walk in, and, you know, he's all red and sweaty and stuff. And, you know,
yeah, I don't believe him.
You know what's going on.
No,
we don't believe you.
No,
Alfredo.
We don't believe you. Where's but that? Thanks. It just sounds like BS.
No.
All red and sweaty.
Yeah.
Alfredo, you know you're full of crap, but thanks for calling,
no,
okay?
Really.
All right, what do you care? You're 17. You whack off, your dad whacks off.
I mean, I know I whack off, but it's like, I don't know, it's like, you know, but he's like an old guy, and it's like, it's
no.
a taboo for a guy that age.
No, it is. Like, you'll be still doing it at that age. Is he married?
He's separated from my mom.
All right, so he's got to do it. It's a maintenance thing. Don't worry about it. All right.
Just relax. Let it go.
Boy Scout manual, mister.
It's got to be awkward.
Nocturnally missions.
Let it go. If dad wants to bring it up and sort of clear the air, he will. Yeah.
I didn't believe him anyway. Jimmy?
He's just trying to get a rise out of his dad. You look out, he'll spit in your face. Hey, guys, you see the double entendre gave you?
I got it.
Get a rise, spit in your face. I'm talking different language here, fellas.
David's doing a upcoming comedy tour this summer, by the way, too.
Seriously, are you?
I am. I'll be in Dingleberries right outside of Cleveland. Yuck Yucks.
Are you going alone, or you have some sort of Def Jam posse thing?
I come in like an assassin, baby. I come in all by myself. I don't have the big black guy like, excuse me, Mr. Greer will not be signing your autographs today. No, I come in and out. Come in and out.
Jimmy.
I just put my money in my socks. And I'm,
yeah.
You guys are...
We're all business.
This is Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, what's going on?
Jimmy!
Jimmy, 36.
Yeah, what's Jimmy, up? What's up?
Okay, I've got a Adam. First of all, you're hilarious. Man.
Thank you. Yes, I know.
You're gay.
I gotta get the. No, I'm not gay. Come on.
All right, go ahead, Jimmy.
Anyway, you're the only guy on the planet that can make me laugh out loud. This question is for Dr. Drew. All right, I started using heroin when I was 20. I'm probably your oldest caller. I'm like 36 now, and. I've tried 21-day detoxes. I've lived in California. I lived in Orange County. I think that's where you come from, Drew, isn't it? SoCal.
My wife. What's the question there, Jeff?
Question is, I'm going through a methadone program right now, and
maintenance or detox?
Yeah, it's maintenance,
uh-huh.
And which I think was really probably the biggest mistake of my life.
How long have you been on the methadone for?
Now 2 years.
How much you taking now? About 80 milligrams?
100.
100. And so, what's the question?
The question is, I feel really safe with the methadone, and. I live in a neighborhood where heroin is very easily accessible. I mean, it's all over the place, and I don't know.
What do you mean safe? What do you mean safe with methadone? And by the way, methadone is sort of a heroin replacement that people. It's a program that people get going with. Drew doesn't like it too much.
I don't like it, but
it's heroin light.
But there are situations where it can be life saving. And Jimmy may be one of these guys.
Well, he's been at it for 16 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's the only thing that's been able to sort of, get rid of the.
How does methadone make you feel as opposed to heroin?
Methadone, it's not really. It's not a high that I get from it.
You just don't crave the heroin.
Yeah, it removes the.
But then what's wrong
if I took
with
methadone?
It?
Would I get high?
Yeah, you get high. And you
can
go to
I
sleep
get some
for a while.
Methadone?
Just a minute.
You don't really.
David, hold on.
If you vomit it up, I'll be pissed.
It's not a high. It's a.
What's wrong with doing it then?
I think one of the problems with doing it is you can never get to the point.
You never get. Oh,
you're intoxicated.
The man
to some extent. It's an altered state. People sort of live in a house of cards that eventually comes kind of crashing down, in my experience. But
it sounds like
Jimmy, if you had spent a year in treatment somewhere and had failed that, then I'd be more apt to sort of embrace methadone. And as you well know, detox is the easiest thing with heroin. The hardest part is staying off the heroin, and that's where you need to stay.
Exactly.
That's where you need to stay in very active treatment for at least a year.
Is it harder to get off heroin or methadone?
Oh, methadone.
Methadone's difficult.
The heroin kick is like 3 or 4 days.
Well, sometimes methadone, you can get lucky sometimes. Some people get off methadone rather fast, like in 5 to 7 days. It's unusual.
Is it a transitional treatment, or are you supposed to just stay on it?
No, he's on maintenance, which is indefinite. And it's purely luck whether or not you have the usual 6-week withdrawal, which is what it normally takes to get off methadone, versus a 5 to 7 day.
when I hear this from the guys in the clinic and everything that have been on this stuff for years and that have kicked it and gone back and everything. They say, you know, it's like, oh God, it was the worst thing. And
it can be bad.
Drew, you've probably heard of the it gets in your bones. And
yeah, that's nonsense. It doesn't get in your bones, but it causes very intense bone pain because of the changes in your spinal cord biology and your brain biology. But the fact is, methanol may be what you need to be on. If you are tempted to use and ship heroin on top of that, you've got an even bigger problem. You got to talk about increasing your methadone dose. Talk to the people who are giving you the methadone. And if you decide it's time to get off, come off the drug, that is, you're going to probably need a year somewhere, and so you better be prepared to do that.
All right. And methadone, that's been around for a while. Can't they do any better than that?
Yeah, there's buprenorphine now, there's other stuff.
Well, sure, buprenorphine.
And there's other things.
Have you heard of dipteferlerine? I just wanted to be down with the doctor talk. I just wanted to say something medical. Sorry, Dr.
Pitalithicar. Should we go right to the Three Stooges?
Pitalithicar. Hey, listen, I just want to apologize. You know, I came in here,
Would you clean that up, as you're getting into it here?
Well, I'll clean it with my shirt. No, really. Yeah. I mean, this is really, I'm trying to, open up to you, doctor. I'm not, trying to be funny.
He came in here.
Excuse me, Adam.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
I was saying, he had a little bit of a network attitude when he came in.
You know, I was wrong. Yeah. Okay, guys? And I just want to make apologies all around.
I would love to. It's really difficult.
Sorry.
It's tough with all this vomit over the table here.
This is me, Dr. Drew.
No
you know, this is me. This is like my soul that I,
yes,
okay,
it
stinks
barfed it up
all
over the table
Dickens
here.
Up here, and you and your foul mouth, you made me up, Chuck.
He purged your soul, Drew, and you're dancing on it.
I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back,
we're going to box.
We're going to box
and move now.
And get some fluids into David. We'll talk to Greg. Greg wants David to do the impression of the blues singer from In Living Color.
Poe from MTV's Youth.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll be back with David Alan Greer after this.
You know what I'm saying out there?
Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
David Alan Greer is our guest
What's
tonight.
What's up, Dad?
Dag is the name of his show, 8:30 Tuesday nights,
nice.
NBC. And you don't know if you're picked up yet, but the show's doing well.
It's doing well, man. We're up. We're still on there. We're still
swinging. I was telling my daughter was watching it tonight.
Yeah.
And looks good for a second season, doesn't it?
No, it's only first season.
I know, but it looks good that you'll get picked up for the second
season. No, it's only first season. We're still first season. let's take a caller. Yeah, let's take a caller. Because this is first season.
I see. I'm
the Rain Man.
Mickey, you're 28. What's your question?
Greg, 22.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, Adam, Dr. Drew, I love you guys.
Thank you.
Also, David Alan Greer, you're the best.
Thank you, man.
We love you here in Michigan.
Michigan. What town in Michigan?
Ypsilanti.
Ipsitucky, baby. Know it well.
That's his hometown.
Ipsitucky. I went down. I went to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. But we used to come party.
We got for you here, there, brother.
Yeah, we used to come. We used to party down there in Ipsitucky. That's what they call it.
Yeah, we do our party in here too,
that's
as well.
Nice. That's nice.
Where's Eastern Michigan?
Eastern Michigan is in hell. We don't even know.
We spoke there, and then we went down to Ann Arbor, remember? That's where we ate at the train station.
Oh, it's right. It's close.
Yeah,
Eastern
yeah.
and Ypsilanti, Michigan State, all that stuff. It's all around there.
Good times over there.
Oh, it's nice.
I just would love to hear the blues singer, the hey, hey. Thank you very much.
Brother,
I need it. I need it, man. Come on.
I can't, but you know what? Fox owns those characters.
I'll even take
they
fun
do.
With you.
Fox owns, you know, listen, man. Fox owns the characters like I did them one time on a radio station. You remember that, Adam?
Yeah.
It came down.
The police
arrested,
came down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
Me. And that's not funny. You know, I'm not just, ha-ha, hee-hee comedian.
No, he did.
It hurt. I got beat down that night. You remember that?
He did the gay movie critic. Yeah. He did the two snaps up guy on the show about four years ago.
They broke my fingers.
Well, not intentionally. It's just you were hanging on to the door jam and they slammed it.
I mean, it was my rights.
They said, snap this.
Yeah, they did. So I almost snapped something.
Yeah, they did. Maybe it wasn't intentional. They slammed it in the door.
Yep, I started yelling, Attica! Ah! And they broke the fingers right off.
The East Police. Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand with copyright, and the Jewish man is not a fan of the black man. I got to tell you, he's got his lawyers, and he's going to come down here, and he'll take away the big SUV and the house in the hills and the white.
Hey, listen,
he'll
I got a bone to pick. How is Oscar De La Hoya saying something offensive by saying the Jew? What do you say about Bob Arum?
The Jew
Harvard
boy.
Jew. Now, when is Harvard Jew something bad.
What was he talking about?
He referred to Bob Arum as the Harvard Jew.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's offensive.
Now, you can't point out someone's race unless they're being offended. You know what I mean?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
This world is
It's getting out of hand.
What's your mix, your whops, your dings, your...
Dagos, spics.
Yeah, you know,
What do you say, Harvard Jewish gentleman?
I don't know. I mean, Harvard Jew, that's like the... You know, what is up?
I don't know. I wish someone would label me Harvard Jew.
I really do. I'm going to send you a Christmas card. Oops. Hanukkah.
Yeah.
My bad.
I got Valley College Gentile hanging over my head. Yeah. Not as nice as Harvard Jew.
Hey, are we having some fun in here? It's kinder, it's gentler.
Yeah, this is better.
I took your advice, Dr.
Drew. Clean the vomit. I appreciate that.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not sure about
that. That's why we're back.
I wish I could be like a dog, you know. I just looked out of my backyard, and there was my little doggie. She was sleeping about an inch away from a big little cocky blob.
Adam actually asked an interesting question. Is if the dog's sense of smell is truly 1,000 times more powerful than
a human? Why is it sniffing crap all day? Why is its face buried in
dirt? Because he doesn't smell crap. He smells pizza.
He smells lilac.
He smells everything he just ate.
If your sense of smell is 1,000 times better and you put your nose an inch away from fresh doggy puke, will it smell like 1,000 times Duke or will it smell like pizza?
It goes right to what you ate.
They're actually smelling what the dog ate.
That's interesting. You're smelling before it went in. Some cleanser, a little piece of pizza.
Yeah, but no, that's not good because then you're smelling dog food.
But to a dog,
that's true.
That's not bad. That's very interesting.
That's nuts.
Steve?
Hi.
You're 19. What's up?
Hi. My question is primarily for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
A few nights ago, some friends of mine and I intentionally overdosed on a cough and cold medicine called Coricidin.
Intentionally meaning trying to harm yourself?
No. Intentionally because it contains dextromethorphan.
Yeah, why'd you pick Coricidin of all things? I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff in there, too.
Did this suddenly turn into Mr. Wizard, Adam?
Yeah.
Steve, what's the question? It's a cold medicine, basically.
No, over-the-counter cold medicine. That's that orange stuff, right?
So he just drank a bunch of it, and Coricidin is the altered, like, narcotic-like
Are you talking about Coricidin tablets?
Coricidin tablets, cough and cold.
So what's the question?
Well, I've experimented with some dextromethorphan use before, and I had heard from several people that Coricidin was a different, more intense trip.
Well, it's got Sudafed in it, certainly the Coricidin D does, and it's also got chlorpheniramine, which is an antihistamine.
Chlorpheniramine is what I was concerned about, and that's what my question pertains to.
Yeah.
I had read some about the effects of the antihistamine. And
well, you can get a delirium from that, and then once you've survived it, you're fine. And the Sudafed can raise your blood pressure and cause strokes and heart attacks.
Once
you've survived it, you're okay. The dextromethorphan, the sort of jury is out. It's being called robo-tripping or DXM, and they're actually selling it as ecstasy because it has a similar kind of an experience associated with it. It's a hallucinatory. And hallucinogens seem to carry the capacity of some degree of brain damage.
But how much do they take?
How many did you take, Steve?
I took 13.
That's a lot.
That's nice.
Why 13?
Well, that was what I had read was a fair dosage for a third plateau trip.
And
You're wrong. You took 13 because 1 plus 3 is 4. 4 in the whole scheme of things. We're in a 4-year. Mm-hmm. A 4 is a challenge number. When you take 4, you're saying, hey, I'm going to meet what I fear the most. So this is like he took his future to burst on through and see like where he's going. That's why he took 13.
Hey, Steve. Did you get off? Did you hallucinate?
Steve?
Actually, the experience was pretty dysphoric, and I slept for months.
Oh, yeah.
Dysphoric.
Listen, why don't you just break down and get some mushrooms?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? What is up,
or some antidepressant.
You know what I do? I slam my head in the door like 3 times. Mm-hmm. Boom. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, that would be a little less damaging.
David, what do you like? A little nip once in a while? A little booze?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Adam. I'm back in the Vikes, Dr.
Ah, I
Drew.
See. You're Viking.
Yo, Vickety Vikes there. I'm doing a movie in Mexico, and so you know where I'm going. I'm stubbing my toe the first night out. Por favor, doctor, tú tienes de
laudid? You don't have to call the doctor for that. You go right down to the pharmacy and just pick it up. Right?
Well, let me ask you something. I read an article about Vicodin. And they were saying, like, usually the guys that get addicted to it, it's not the Vicodin, it's the acetaminophen or something that rips up your liver.
Well, that's
because you're taking, like, 50
No, no, no. Well, you're addicted to the opiate, which is the hydrocodone there. And the acetaminophen is what can hurt you in the product. And
yeah, but I'm just saying, what if you're a little older, gentlemen?
Here's what's
interesting. You hang out with the young girls.
Here's what's interesting.
Pop a few Vicks every week or so.
If you took, if I gave you 12, if I give you 13 Vicodin now,
I'd be dead.
You'd be dead in 2 days. Right. But
really?
Something about,
let's do it.
But something about the way people escalate their use of Vicodin when they're addicts seems to give the liver enough time to adjust to develop the enzymatic machinery to handle the Tylenol so there's no more toxicity.
Well,
my average Vicodin addict is taking 50 Vicodin a day.
Wow.
And I've treated many have taken 100 to 120 a day. No liver problem.
Where do you get your hands on 50 Vicodin a day?
That's a lot.
They usually end up ripping off prescription pads.
Well, you know what Judy
going
did?
To multiple
Judy,
pharmacies.
The late, great Judy Garland had minions who would go and you know, fill her prescriptions. She'd go to Dubai.
Back then, I'm sure it was no problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know the incredible thing about
Elvis
her. She died when
everyone,
she was 13
really.
Years old. Sang her heart out. Every
day. She was a trooper in a town.
The man that won me has come out and undone me. Ah, Judy.
I think Elvis kind of ruined it for all us guys who knew doctors and thought we could get a little candy on the side.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Drew. Why do all these pill-popping knuckleheads always die on the toilet? What's going on there?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Judy Garland and Elvis Presley both died.
On the toilet.
Constipated on the toilet.
That's not been my experience, but you're taking 50 Vicodin a day. You're spending a little bit of time working on the toilet.
Oh, really?
No, constipated?
Very constipated.
Are you talking about the little rabbit pellets that's like giving
birth?
If
you're lucky.
Comes out like shotgun pellets.
I know.
Bowling ball.
Oh!
Well, that makes sense. You take a bunch of Vicodin, you're constipated, you spend half the day on the toilet, you're pushing hard, and you get a hemorrhage, right? You get an aneurysm.
My experience, my addicts don't die on the toilet.
No, they die when Drew hits him with the bill.
Oh, no. Jake? Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla. He's going to be doing two shows nightly here at Dingleberry's. Love to love you, Adam. Very good.
Loving you, Dave. Thanks. Next up, very funny man. Very funny man. You know him from In Living Color, Mikkel's Navy. Give it up for my main man, David Allen Greer.
Cut the music. Cut the music. Smile up in his bush. Is in the White House. I'd like to get in some bush. But seriously, though, you know what?
Yeah.
Ah, that's my time.
Jake?
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
your name team. What's going on?
Hey, I love y'all. You guys are great. Cool. Actually, I have a couple questions for David, if that's all right.
What's up, man? What you got, man?
Hey, first of all, loved you in Living Color. We used to watch that religiously around here,
Thank
and
you.
We still do when we catch it.
Now, where are you from, man?
I'm from Seattle.
Seattle, okay.
Right on. Yeah. Couple questions. So you remember that one skit you did where you were, like, singing Broadway?
Yes.
And they put all the chickens on stage with you?
Yes.
Were you pissed off? Because there were a couple of scenes of you in there. You looked pretty pissed off.
Yeah, I wasn't...
he's a method actor.
I wasn't so pissed off as just deeply hurt, my friend.
Well, he's a serious singer, David is, so I think he may have thought this was going to be a forum for that, and then the chickens
I tried to back out of it, but whenever we, like, would something was really bad, we'd start clucking like chickens during the rehearsal, so I tried to back out of it, and Keenan was like, no, you have to do it. So I started doing it, because they had gotten all these live chickens, they put them on stage, and it was horrible. It was a horrible, horrible day. And... Carrie Ann, the Asian fly girl, she comes in after everybody's laughing and laughing. I'm there in my little black leotard. She goes, David, I thought it was good. And that's when I put that last bullet in the chamber.
I do have one more question.
Yeah.
So a lot of you have gone on to be stars and stuff like that, big time. And I was wondering, you guys ever going to have like a Living Color reunion?
We did. We were honored this year at Aspen, at the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Really?
Everybody came, but Jim didn't come, and Jamie. Jamie was doing a movie, and Jim was doing something.
He's too big.
But he is too big.
So you guys could do like a special on TV or anything like that?
I don't know. It would be fun, but I want to do it before we get like really old. You know how they do your show of shows right now.
Yeah. Well,
and Carl Reiner is still doing the 2,000-year-old man, which has yet to be funny.
Gilligan's Island.
You don't want to do all that.
Alan Hale.
Yeah.
Third.
Yeah. When we're doing high top fade wigs and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we had the
Mel
fly.
Two snaps
and a gerbil.
When you guys were in that show's prime, yeah. We had a number of the cast came up here. Those would grace us with their presence. I mean,
I was like, I'm not doing that
yeah.
show.
And
then
we had the Fly Girls up here, and I was Ann pulled out a picture of that.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
The Fly Girls. Jennifer Lopez was one of the Fly Girls. She's standing right next to me. I was like, what? Bizarre.
Jennifer Lopez. Did you ever know? I saw Jennifer Lopez at an Oscar party. I was like, hey, Jen, what's up, baby? Then I saw Puff Daddy or P. Diddy. I was like, hey, Puff, what's up, man? They were all there together.
But so Jennifer Lopez was up here as one of the Fly Girls.
Nice. Did you ever think, like, wow, she's going to lose half that ass and become really big? You didn't think that, did you, back then?
No. I wasn't here, but I didn't think it anyway.
Who was here? Who was here, Dr.
Was it Poor Man or Ricky?
Poor Man. It was a lot
more.
Poor Man.
Whoa, what happened to him?
Oh, he's on top of the world.
Wow.
Oh!
Great.
That's what happens all the guys used to host this show.
I tell you what, if he'd have boxed you, maybe he'd be a better man.
That's right.
Adam doesn't mess around.
No.
It's all in terms of boxing. Everything you talk about, it's like, hey, Adam, what are you doing for the holidays? I'll tell you what. It's all about the abs. You got to squat. You stand on balls of your feet.
Your
when you're in church, when you're shopping.
Swim your hips.
Always. There you go. When you don't turn your head. Turn your shoulders. Hip, there you go. Pivot.
Hip rotation.
There you go. Fabulous.
I don't know why I get ridiculed for trying to help.
It's good. You're a very good boxing teacher.
Am I? Be serious.
I swear to you, you are. You're better than these knuckleheads.
No, you're trying to make him say that.
You're
hear David Alan Greer say,
I would
good.
Like to hear that.
You're
yes,
a good
here.
Boxing teacher. Very good. Because we talk about the fights. Now, did you see the De La Hoya fight?
During the break, guys.
Yes.
During the break.
We'll talk during the break. David Alan Greer here. Everyone.
I'm saying De La Hoya. He hits him. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. But, you know, other dude, man, he's been hit too many times.
No, Gotti. Yeah. One big ball of scar tissue. We'll be back after this.
Yeah.
Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dexter
and Noodles
from The Offspring, and you're listening to Loveline with that asshole Adam Carolla and that guy that's full of himself, thinks he always knows what he's talking about, Dr. Drew.
I hate that guy.
I can do better than that.
Can you say asshole?
No, you cannot say asshole.
Why? You can say ass. You know what I hate? I hate these like disc jockeys who say a-hole.
Yeah, that's me.
That's us. Just don't say the word. Don't say the word. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I got to tell you.
I'm so peed off with you know what, because the a-hole. No.
See suckers.
Yeah, right. Don't make me use the N-word.
Yeah.
Nincompoop. Anyway, just say some different
words. No, well, here's the deal. David, we have to kill 10 hours a week.
I know.
And whereas you got
a
whole pen full of Jews take care of one half hour a week. We got nobody for 10 hours a week. You see,
let me tell you something,
you're
sad sack life. Come on. Hire some writers. Want to hear it. Dr. Drew's there. He's healing babies. He's getting the sick off of their sickness.
That's
Dr.
Right.
Drew, when are you going to be on the Recovery Network? That is the greatest sitcom television in the history of the media.
High energy, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I come home from tying one on. I turn that Recovery Channel on. No matter how bad my day is, there's someone worse than me.
Oh, absolutely. At least their hair's worse.
Oh, my God. It's wonderful.
And let me ask you seriously, David.
Yeah, what do you need, man?
Talking about the show and the writing.
Yeah.
You know, you're a funny guy. You've done a ton of writing in your day.
Yeah.
How much writing do you do?
I can't do
on
it all.
DAG?
I can't do it all. I can't do it. I trust. I work with the writers. I work with the writers, but there's a bit. Yeah, I do. But you know what? You know, you rehearse all day. I can't write and then do everything. But I do work with the writers. I work with...
What was the answer?
From the very beginning.
He does.
I work with the writers.
But do you sit down and write segments? Do you write...
What you do is like, it's like this. You do a read-through.
Yeah.
Table read.
So somebody else writes that.
No. From the very beginning, from last year in the summertime, in like 3 months, if we get picked up, you go back with the writers, you start pitching ideas for stories.
So they work with you to
sit
them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
We whittled them down, we just pitch ideas back and forth. Then you go away, you come back. Right, you go back. And it's given, I'm given a first draft of a script before it even goes to the table. We give notes back and forth.
Got it.
You know, so all along, the process.
You're in.
It's there. But then, you know, when you bring in the network, the studio, you have to pick your battles. I mean, it's really...
I wonder if they could say it was Underpants on NBC.
Underpants. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Drew, have you ever sat in on a table read?
Oh, boy.
It's the greatest experience of your life.
Oh, boy.
Anderson, get ready with the laughter card there. And basically, here's
what's
how
the name of our
goes.
Show? What's the name of our show?
It's called Coffee and Donuts.
Okay. All right. Okay. My name's Dio.
I'm a white guy.
Okay.
And I'm real uptight.
Okay. And I'm the black dude who's jive talking.
You're jive talking.
Yeah.
And we're both cops.
Call
we're
me T-Bone.
Detectives.
My name's T-Bone.
No, you're Johnny Donetti.
You're
tough, streetwise, Chicago cop. Yeah. Donuts. That's you. And I'm
donuts.
Charles Coffee III. I'm very uptight.
All right, come.
All right. Now, here's the scene. The scene is we're getting ready to go into our commissioner's room, our captain's room, because he may be upset
and
with
you just
us.
Ruined a car.
Yeah, we just ruined another car.
There you go.
Because you were trying to chase down some thugs and weren't calling for backup.
Okay. He was playing by his own rules.
There you go.
So here's how the table read goes. Okay, I'll start. Coffee, I told you to let me do the driving. You should have looked at the manual. I told you to go by the book.
Man, I don't need no manual, you jive turkey. I told you I know how to drive.
Now, when we get in front of the captain, you keep quiet and let me do the talking. Because the last time you opened your big trap, you got us suspended without pay.
Yeah, but we had fun, didn't we?
Well, you may have a point there, Donetti, but I'll tell you what. Here's $5. Why don't you go over to the vending machine and get me a Snickers bar and a cup of coffee?
A Clark bar and an orange soda.
No. I said Snickers bar and a cup of coffee.
Hey, no need to get salty. Don't use the N-word in here.
I said Snickers.
Hey, that's it.
Now, where do the producers and the writers come in? They must ring
they
in constantly.
They sit around and laugh.
Only at their own jokes.
Yeah.
Only at their own jokes.
They laugh at their own jokes.
Yeah, only at their own jokes. Uh-huh. It's vicious. There's a lot of anger in there, Dr. Drew. People don't know how hard it is to put a good show on the air. God.
No, they do. They turn the TV on, and they can tell how hard it is.
But look at Friends. They're acting, and, you know, Matthew Perry's out again. They're still acting.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's on the Vicodin.
He's all right.
Blake, what is Matthew Perry on? Is it the Vicodin?
I don't know.
Drew, you don't hear anything in the inner circle?
No,
it
kind of makes me wonder what is going on there, frankly.
Ooh, you think
he's
you would have heard something.
He's dealing with it.
Yeah. Blake?
He doesn't strike me as an addict.
You're 17. What's up?
16.
What's up?
Well, here's my dilemma. Basically, when I was a freshman in high school, my principal inadvertently told my father that I was gay.
What do you mean inadvertently?
Like, she told him, but, you know, she didn't do it in a way, like, to spite me or, you know, to get at me. It was just...
Right.
How would she know?
Well, because we were, at that point, like, me and a few of my fellow students were, like, starting a gay-straight alliance.
Well, was she talking about something that she just assumed your father knew about?
That was basically the situation. Like,
was she talking about this gay club you were trying to establish?
No, she called because...
Was it?
Hey, can the kid say something?
I'm sorry.
Let him talk.
You're right. Go ahead. David's right.
Go ahead.
Thank you, David.
Okay, sorry, man.
So, she called because I had gotten suspended for one reason or another, like in a completely unrelated issue.
One reason or another.
Oh, that's it. Drew, let the man talk.
I'm sorry for Drew. Go ahead, Blake.
Yeah, so it was in a completely unrelated reason. And then somehow she brought up, because she told my father that... because I had screamed out this one kid in class because he made some homophobic comment, and then she told my father that I should keep my mouth shut about those type of issues. And then my father was like, "Why would he be involved in those type of issues?" And she was like, "Well, because he started Gay Straight Alliance and blah blah blah."
You're gay. I see. The Gay Straight Alliance is what tipped your dad off.
Right.
Was it the windbreaker he saw at the house, or was it just the conversation?
The paper mache rainbow. He
All right. So you're gonna write it out.
Guys, those are homophobic comments.
You're right. Right. And what
did you fess up and just tell your dad, yeah, it's true, I'm gay?
Well, you know, at that point, my father was like, well, why did he start a Gay Straight Alliance? Is he gay? And then my principal said, oh, I thought you knew.
I see. All right, well, so your principal ratted you out, and what did your dad have to say about it?
He was, you know, he's not a very homo-friendly?
Yeah. It's a good term. I don't think myself's homo-friendly.
He's not a mo-lover.
Well, look, Blake, it almost had to happen. It's okay. You were establishing a network of friends and support groups for yourself and peers like yourself. Mm-hmm. You were very open about this and very public. I can understand you not wanting to deal with your parents if they're sort of closed-minded and foolish about these things, but it was kind of inevitable that if you were going to be as public as you were and as active as you were, that they would find out. And thank God you had established those clubs to fall back on for yourself.
Is your mom, you don't talk about your mom, is she involved at all?
She's kind of indifferent to the issue.
Like, does that anger you, or do you
it,
not?
It care? Kind of does in a way. Like she like says, "Oh, you're just going through a phase," and says she'll still love me anyway. But
Adam, you went through a similar phase, like.
Yeah, I went through a straight phrase in the early 80s.
Did not stick.
Did not, right.
You know, I kind of like to, you know, talk to her, but she can't say the word gay.
Well, listen, both your parents are going to have to come to terms with this in their own way.
Well, you stay with a pipe smoker.
You stay with friends that have been through this, get support, and don't push it with them. They're going to need time to digest it on their own, and you're going to have to live your life.
Okay.
All right. And you figure with you chairing up the gay alliance at school that eventually the cat or penis was going to get out of the bag.
That's
eventually, right?
Well, yeah, that was kind of funny because there was an article written about
cut him off.
The
He's
club.
Done.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, listen, you show me a kid who's starting a gay alliance at a school, and I'll show you a kid who's
okay
wants
it.
To let his
yeah.
parents
He's
know.
Also okay with
who's hanging out at the bus station. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to
take. You are very uptight about
take
that.
Take
Well, hey, you know, I have no issue with those people.
I love when guys do that, when they're talking about a race or when they're talking about gays or whatever.
No means no. That's all I want to say, Dr. Drew.
I love it when they do it. The big fat white guy goes like, I don't have a problem with those people as long as they act within the laws of the community. But when those
come on, slavery's over. Forget about it already with the black stuff.
David Alan Greer is our guest. Now we'll take a little break. We'll be back. Everybody, we're back.
Like, you know, once or twice a month with your little girlfriend, get your freak on, and
enjoy.
Enjoy. No, I mean really.
What?
Can't you do? I'm not me because you.
We,
know
we
I'm
had
saying,
this whole discussion about this.
Yeah,
on
I
Sunday.
Know, but I'm saying, you know, can't you do some ecstasy every now and then? You know, freak it real hard.
Yeah, you can. You can do whatever you want, but I wouldn't. I think to me, it's just Russian roulette.
Little really? X once in a while.
Really?
So, right.
I'm saying, well, what does Dr. Drew do to get his buzz on? Well, what do you do? A couple beers.
Fine, but not. I'm not. I don't like.
But do you shoot it? Do you shoot it like Motley Crue in them?
Sure. He does put an IV bag and
he does what's called a Merlot bong.
Really?
Puts a whole 750.
I did, boys. Let me ask you something. They call it the 151 butt chase. I did a hot rum enema. Oh boy, talk about a ring of fire.
Hot buttered rum. Huh?
Oh my goodness, goes right through your bloodstream there, Dr. Drew.
That's David Alan Greer, everybody.
I brought my rig with me in case you boys want to partake. We got a little Drambuie and some other stuff here. Kahlua.
Oh, man.
The old poopy.
Maybe this is how they get the felching.
I'm
cocktail.
Free. I'm just.
Maybe the felching cocktail really includes Kahlua. Maybe that's how they managed to.
I've heard if you take butterscotch schnapps and cream liqueur and do it rectally, that not only can you get a high from it, but that your partner who sucks it out of your anus via straw. Yeah. I'm sorry, David. Are you all right?
As I was.
I hear once it's ingested, you know, from the rectum, that you can get a high, you know.
Very special high.
A special high. But again, there's the fecal matter. This is trace elements of fecal matter that is involved with the Drambuie.
I'm leaving right now.
Sorry, David. You okay? All right, man.
Oh,
that's
God.
David Alan Greer. Everybody.
Shout out to Run DMC. Saw them brothers last night ripping it up, man.
Really?
Ripping it
up. Where are they playing? Your living room?
At Deep. They were deep. They got a new album. It did kind of get a lull in it when they started playing the new cuts, but old stuff was live. Hit after hit, they were nice. Run, DMC.
David Alan Greer, Tuesday nights, 8:30, NBC, yeah. DAG, and then this Saturday, help the Times Grand Prix in Long Beach. Drew, stop that, please. Now, you've done it three times, or this will be your third time?
This is going to be my third time. Nobody knows.
What place did you come in the first and second time?
Always middle of the pack. Always middle of the pack. Never crash.
You ever get beat by chicks?
Yes. Dara Torres is one of the Olympic athletes. First of all, whenever you have Olympic athletes competing, they have a whole different head than normal people.
They put their game face on.
Yeah. No, but I'm telling you, they look at it, and they figure it out. Immediately. So the rest of us are like, you know, when all the cars come around me, I'm like, I get all punked out. I'm like, you go ahead. Go ahead. Ooh, I'm getting
well,
all...
to be fair.
He's close. He's going to hit me.
Be fair, you're pretty coked up the first and second time you did it.
I was coked up. I was all sweaty and twitchy and stuff, you know?
So, you know, that adds to
You
it.
Know what really hurt me the first time I visited Dr. Drew in a professional manner? He said, you're no junkie. Now get out of here and get high and come back when you got a real problem.
Right. Yeah, he did that to me, too.
Except I said first you had to have the anal rectal bleed.
Wow, wow.
Didn't
ow,
I?
Ow, yeah. Ow. The rectal tear. You know what my favorite show is? Trauma.
Yeah.
Life in the ER, TLC, baby. Oh.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous.
There's nothing better, especially when you're eating, to see some 27-year-old landscaper from Guadalajara who has a sprinkler key through the side of his head.
Oh, it is. They shot this kid in between his eyes. He walked out of the hospital 3 days later.
We shot him like a bullet.
A bullet. Yeah, it stuck in the skull.
I had a couple of those too, and we used to call that the law of inverse worth.
Ooh, God.
You know the little old ladies, you know, with the 10 grandkids sitting on the bus stop gets hit by a rock that ricochets off the wheel
car
of the bus.
Right.
She's dead instantly. The gangbanger who's killed 12 people gets a close range gunshot wound, goes through an unimportant barbed wire, walks out.
By the way, you can't be feeling too good about your intelligence when you actually take a bullet in the brain and it has no visible effect on you.
They showed this one guy, they cut the kid's head open, they cut out some brain because it started swelling, stuffed it back in there like an old sock, stapled them together, and he was watching Jerry Springer a week later.
He did better on his SATs next week than he did before the bullet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, it's a dubious honor to get shot in the head and not really have it take too much away from your game.
Hey, boys, can I tell you something? How jazzed I mean, I feel to be here. This is crazy. This is nutty, man. Let's save some lives.
All right, let's do it. Jim?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Yeah.
We're going to save your life.
What's up, baby? Let's go.
Save my life?
What's up?
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah?
Sometimes... a lot of times when I masturbate, I fantasize about having sex with my sister.
All right, I'm going to wait in the car. I can't deal with this.
I don't necessarily believe Jim.
Well, have you been with your sister ever?
No. Actually, when I was a little kid, we used to take naps together. And sort of when she was sleeping, I used to just explore. It was never anything really heavy or anything.
Yeah, but isn't that just some of it? When is it normal... childhood sexual exploration.
It's not.
Stops at 34.
It's also really never normal with a sibling. That suggests some boundary issues.
Really?
And it
so you're saying it's never normal? The
brain is an interesting instrument.
Yeah, your sister's not listening.
You get these arousing experiences as a child, and they become etched in. And you hit puberty, those are become sexual.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I can guarantee you my mother could never arouse me.
No, that's not like your sister.
No. Yeah.
Now you're saying, not like an aunt or, you know.
Right. Grandma. Someone is a little bit distant.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows what they're doing.
Jim?
Yeah?
You ever want to act on this with your sister?
Not when I see her, but when I see her, I'm weird around her.
All right, well, realize that this is from these experiences you had when you were younger, and it's not a healthy situation, and by all means... do not act on these impulses. Don't feel guilty or bad about it. They're normal for what you've been through, but what you've been through wasn't normal.
See if you can nail someone else's sister. That's my game plan.
You need a girlfriend. I think that will take some of this away.
Chris? Outside of the family, you're saying, Drew,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, can I look at your little magic screen? You're always shutting me out every time I come
ahead,
in here.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, Devin. Chris, you're...
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It says Chrissy, not Chris.
No, it's not fair. Chris?
C. Chris C.
You're 20. What's up?
That's
Hello?
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say hi to everyone there, to Dr. Drew and Adam.
Hey.
And to David.
Thank you.
I've seen every In Living Color show, and I just think you're really great and everything.
Thank you.
He was a talent.
Now, this is a very important question. Chris, do you have a question for us?
The other day recently, I tried, I guess, what's called GHB.
Mm-hmm.
And it just did a lot of weird things to me, and I just want to know what it is, what it does, and things like that.
It's gamma-hydroxybutyrate. It's a precursor of a chemical called GABA, which is a down-regulating chemical in the brain.
It is beautiful.
And it's basically like alcohol
head,
in terms
man.
Of how it sedates you. It's
so
highly
beautiful.
Addictive in certain individuals, and we don't know what the risk factors are for addictiveness, but I've treated a number of GHB addicts.
Is this, you used to be able to get this from the health food store?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't get it anymore, right?
No, and the addiction is really messed up. These people are
And I heard it's also like a growth hormone, too, and people take it to give them energy.
Yeah, it's not so much for energy except for those people that experience euphoria from it, which, again, is a biological subset. But it does increase growth hormone levels a little bit, and so athletes tend to use it, and Major League Baseball has got a problem with this drug.
Yeah, but you see a lot of kids in clubs when you have alcohol mixed in with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it puddling, man.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
Out.
And part of the problem with GHB is that there's such a narrow margin between intoxication and seizure and death.
Yeah.
So you can't be very clear.
Now, is GHB the rape drug?
I bet most of the time. Well, Rohypnol is the one that, you know, that has been traditionally associated with that, but GHB has become one of those.
Yeah. Roofies was originally marketed by Pfizer as the rape drug, right?
Yeah.
You saw the campaign.
Yeah. I was in that.
Oh, yes. I thought I saw you in that. That's
get
right.
me some tonight.
Right.
Where's my roofies? Yahoo!
Right. What's David Alan Greer used to get laid?
Roofies, baby.
Is
plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Quiet out.
Is it a star status? Nope. How about his fat checking account?
Nope. Is it a sweet talking to come online? Give me some.
Nope. It is roofies.
Yep.
Thank you, roofies.
Thank you.
Oh, Dr. Drew was improvising. That's beautiful, man. You are loosening up.
Chrissy?
Dr. Drew, give me a home number, man. And don't give me that 976 stuff either, man.
I'll give you a home number.
Cool, man. We're going to
call a boss.
Yeah. He's had my home number for 4 years, isn't called.
You don't call back.
It's
he
true.
Calls
I
me
call,
back.
I call. You're like some gay stalker. Now listen, I want to see you. I'm starting. I don't want to.
Well, listen.
Hey, Adam Karaoke. Listen, this is David Abbott here. Let's try and get some levity in our little voicemail message there, pal. Pull the stick out your ass and breathe, my friend. Happy Kwanzaa, black brother.
So, for those.
I'm ready to whoop your monkey ass come the year 2001. So bring your little mini mitts, and we're going to beat you down. Now, look at here, buddy love. One quick note. I thought you were going to tie me up with that bag, man. See how you do?
I'm embarrassed.
All right. Listen, have a great holiday.
Just have you call David, you get a message machine, and he calls you back high with some kind of long, rambling, threatening message.
You know it's really bad because I remember I hung up the phone. I got really scared. Oh, what'd I just do? Oh, boy, I did something bad.
For those of you who think David is putting this on, this is an act. This is a real-life persona.
That's what the GHB really does to you.
Yeah, no kidding. Stuff.
Yeah, I forgot about
okay,
that.
Okay, so steel drum music you, behind you. What was that? You were Jamaica when you called him?
I was, like, in my car or something. No, but Dr. Drew, what I'm telling you is, like, say, you know, you just party a little bit.
He wants to change the subject. Yeah, right.
You know, you do a little GHB, get your groove on, like, mm-hmm. Once or twice a month. Is that going to kill you?
No, it's like, it could kill you, but it's probably not going to if you don't overdose on it.
And you don't drink alcohol.
Not you. You're a big star. Nothing can bring you down, brother. All right, let's talk to Chrissy.
You know, that's illegal what you just did, playing my message. I'm sorry. Chrissy, what's up?
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi.
What's up, man?
You're 23. What's going on?
Well, I've been having some problems with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He's 27, and he doesn't like to go out with me. he always comes up with little excuses about that. He doesn't want to go out.
Has he always been that way?
Uh-huh.
Has he always been that way?
No, he has not always been this way.
Something new.
So, he's only been this way for the past 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
How long you been with him?
For almost 2 years.
Two years. Oh, boy.
All right.
You're not living together or anything, are you?
No.
All right.
I think if we were, we'd probably kill each other.
All right. Mm-hmm. Not a good sign.
No, but other than that, we get along pretty good. But he likes to go out with his buddies.
Yeah.
These two guys, they go out clubbing, drinking, to raves and everything. I only know of him going to one rave, and this is the past Friday night. But anyhow, the major problem is he always says I turn him on too much, okay, which I always thought that was a good thing. But we only have sex, like, once a week.
Yeah.
It's like, we have sex, the week goes by, during the week, you know, I'll, like, ask him for it, and he comes up with excuses, I'm tired, or...
How long has that been going on?
For about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Mm. And before that, how often was he tapping that booty, girl?
Practically every day.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something's wrong.
Okay, before he ever had a problem with me giving him hickeys. But now he does.
Ooh, wow. That's
yeah, but you know what? You know what?
He's 27.
How old is he, 27? Yeah, no, nobody wants no hickeys, baby.
I know. But,
yeah, but he doesn't want, he's going to clubs.
But you're giving
I don't want hickeys either, man. That's nasty.
But you're giving him hickeys to kind of mark him because he's heading out.
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried a Sharpie? Like, just scribble on his winky?
Uh-huh.
No.
Never mind.
All right. Chrissy.
No more hickeys. I'm on his side. But
okay,
do you have any physical evidence that he is cheating? Anybody seen him with another girl? Anything like that?
Well, I do know of last year, his brother had told me he was trying to see this one girl.
Right.
And,
why are you putting up with all his
Why
parents?
Does his brother tell you that, by the way?
This all sounds miserable. Why are you putting up with all
this? He sounds like an idiot, and you sound kind of dumb, too. I mean, you guys should be separated before you have some retarded kids.
It's true. How many kids you guys got together?
We don't have any.
Wow.
Good.
See, our college
are you sterile, Chrissy, or what's up?
No, I have two kids now. Well, I might be pregnant, but not quite sure.
David said two kids. He held it, and you may be pregnant with a third?
Yeah.
And they're not his?
No, the first two are not his.
Right. But they... All right. What's wrong with you, goofball?
I don't know.
I mean, aren't you supposed to slide into mama mode at some point?
She sounds so cute, too. You're 23. How old are your kids? 12 and what?
14.
Uh-huh.
No, 5 and almost a year.
Okay. Uh-huh. And where's daddy?
Chino.
We broke up.
Didn't you say you'd been with your present boyfriend for 2 years?
Yeah.
Child's 1 year old?
Well, he's almost one. He'll be one in a couple more weeks.
I know, but we're doing the math. It ain't his
Okay,
kid.
Okay. Well, after I got pregnant with my second one, me and their father broke up. He didn't want any more kids. Well,
we got that point, but how were you with this guy for two years?
You see, I told you to hang
the
up.
The math ain't working out.
It's not quite 2 years, but...
You must have been very pregnant when you met him.
I was 3 and a half, almost 4 months pregnant.
Did you tell him that you were pregnant when you met him?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, wow. Chrissy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this guy's a little chaotic. He's 27. He's going to raves at 27.
He goes out with two guys.
Giving him hickeys. He's hanging around with two guys with those. They got those haircuts where they're shaved on the side. And they got ponytails.
No, they don't have any ponytails.
What kind of hair are they sporting? Shaved on the side?
Shaved on the side, I can get that when I want it.
Yeah, these guys are idiots.
Yeah, but
they really are.
But this is the father of the current
right.
child.
And honey, you think you're pregnant again?
Yeah.
Can't you? Why aren't you on some birth control? Who's taking care of those kids? Where's the money coming from?
Well, I work, and then their father gives me child support.
Okay, but how?
You know
how,
that
how
may be that would kill my sexual desire right there. Mm. 2, 3 kids, crumb crushes running all in the room.
Does he know you might be pregnant? He knows that.
And how long? How long ago did you tell him you might be pregnant? 2 or 3 months ago.
No, just a couple weeks ago.
Mm. All right. Can you give this kid up for adoption or let it be raised by badgers or something so it has a chance?
No.
All right, but listen, goofball, you're destroying the country.
That's true.
No more of this, huh?
Did you vote for Bush?
Who's gonna pay for these kids? Who's gonna take care of these kids? You're out working all day?
She's taking care of them. At least she's working.
All right. Are they boys or girls?
When the oldest is a girl and the youngest is a boy.
All right. You keep him out of prison. You keep her out of the strip clubs, all right?
All right.
All right. And listen, I don't trust this guy, and I don't trust you because you picked this guy.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Chrissy. I don't care if you have a whole five or six kids. You sound cute as a button, honey.
That's a very positive.
Bye. Have a wonderful life, baby doll.
Very positive message.
David, you should have
don't get
radio
pregnant
show
again, screwball.
I date her, I swear. I put them all in a big station wagon.
Oh, my geez. God.
That's
my
two kids.
God. How come we don't, you know what drives me insane? How come we don't come down as a country more on this? I was just thinking.
It's too late. First of all, it's too late. Once the kids
yeah,
are
but
here,
if we created yeah, forces but, that
but
didn't
like
allow
a stigma.
People to fall
like
into this.
Well, I'll tell you why we don't. Because we don't treat sex intelligently. First of all, the whole subject of sex is not treated intelligent. It should be open conversation, education, yeah, and all facets of life.
But as a society, shouldn't we be mad at uneducated, unmarried people that are having, you know, 3, 4, 5
you should,
kids?
But you're saying who's going to pay for it? Welfare accounts for less than 1% of our budget. The military, that's over 30%.
No problem.
Okay, so
with
if
that
you want to get mad at Bush when he's about to bomb China,
but
which they need to do because they took our people on that plane. Sick of
them. Listen, I don't know. A few months back, they had this big reunion at the House of Blues for all the children of Muddy Man, Scat Hole. He was like some blues
Muddy
singer.
Man?
Who's that blues singer that had 100 kids?
Oh, my God.
What's his name? Like, he had a name like... it was named like the Falcon or something. He had like 96 kids or something like that. They had like a big reunion at the House of Blues for this guy. And the thing was, he died a couple of years, a year and a half ago, and they had something on the internet like, do you think you may be one of his kids? I can't think of the name of this old blues singer. But
fascinating story.
The point
which
is...
which brings up something else. You know, they had...
nobody had a problem with this guy having 95 kids.
That's insane.
I mean, he literally had between 90 and 100 kids.
I'm so frightened to have one kid. I just don't want to be there loaded, you know, going, why has daddy got a gun to his head? Because society hates me, son. Daddy's not laughing on the inside. I don't want it to end like that.
Nice.
Drew.
No, it won't.
And soon.
It'll end sooner
thank
than
you
that.
Thanks,
Bob?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah, David, I gotta say, I listened to that other show where you did the whole vomiting thing for like half an hour straight. I had to turn off the radio. That was just
thank
hilarious.
You. That's
thanks
a lot. Highest compliment you can pay a hug.
I'm so proud. I took that tape home and I played it for my girlfriend.
That was amazing.
Absolutely. I said I did
it.
The funniest
Adam,
in the world.
You're my hero.
Thank you.
I love you. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
Dr. Drew, a lot of respect for what you do.
Sure, whatever that is. What's up?
I had a question. Dr. Drew, you're probably going to be able to answer this one.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really rate on his scale. I'm not sure if I'm going to answer.
I was wondering, I just started working out, and from what I understand of biology, having a higher level of testosterone means your workouts are more effective, you gain muscle quicker.
Yeah.
And my question was, if you have a lot of sex or masturbate a lot, does that increase or decrease the amount of testosterone in your system?
It increases it to a point, but there's sort of a J shape to the curve. In other words, if you're having no sex, your testosterone levels drop down. If you're having moderate, and what that is for a given individual can vary, it will raise the testosterone levels, but if you're sort of excessively masturbating or having sex, they'll start to drop down again.
Because you're depleting your body?
Your body just...
of fluids.
Yeah, your body's trying to get you to stop.
Is there a difference between having sex and masturbating?
Probably, but not... I don't know.
In terms of your body?
There's probably some differences, but they're pretty subtle.
Would you?
This is nice. So does your body know that it's just a hand, or you know,
I think the biology of a sexual encounter is different.
I think your belly and hamper know, but I'm not sure.
Your belly hamper, they're experts.
Can we segue off into the HGH, human growth hormone?
Yeah.
Now, is it true that that can like once you start taking human growth hormone or like what is it, the gel, like the testosterone
gel,
your body stops producing its own testosterone?
Yes. Like the guys use anabolic steroids, it shuts their testes down, testes shrink.
Because your body doesn't need to manufacture
it. That is it. Thank you so much. I found out!
Now you know what's going on with your penis.
Sack. But if you, got all
if you shave
off.
Your pubic hair, it'll look bigger though. So
there's Dad on there. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. David Alan Greer is our guest tonight.
I tell you, the time flies by when you're vomiting.
We'll be back after this.
Loveline, we'll be right back. Call them at 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over
and
there.
And I'm David Alan Greer, special guest here in Loveline with my friend Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
8:30, everyone. NBC, Tuesday nights.
Dag.
Also, David will maybe be coming to a town near you.
That's true.
Doing a little comedy.
Doing my little
summer.
Thing this summer, baby. Doing my making my strike money. Is there going to be a strike?
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a strike.
Do you think, Dr. Drew?
Yep.
Really?
What do I know?
Drew doesn't know anything about
it. But I hear people
anything.
Talk about it as though it's just, it's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
I hope not.
Yeah. For people listening, don't know what we're talking about. There's going to be a big strike with the actors and the writers and all that good
Brian
stuff.
Brian Herta?
Brian Herta is a race car driver who's going to be in here tomorrow night.
You don't know about that?
You'll see Brian racing in the Grand Prix on Sunday.
I certainly will.
But you won't be there. Now I'm going.
Really?
Yeah.
I got pit passes, baby.
Yeah.
You want some tickets?
I'll get them from Brian Herta on tomorrow night. I could get them from you, though. No, it's cool. I mean, we could go down there together. I mean, we're a team.
True, do you want to go?
I'd love to go.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
True ain't
kids.
Going anywhere.
Kids. Honey, kids, get off the racetrack. Oh, my. Oh, Lord. Oh. Drew, somebody get him out there.
Drew can't even go number two unless his wife signs off on it. He really can't. There's no
Dr.
way in
Drew,
hell
is
you're
your
going
wife
to.
A little ball buster?
Little ball buster.
Oh, boy.
Well, we work on stuff together.
Yeah, right.
I want her to sign off on
it. Yeah, we'll work on busting your balls together. It's a family affair. Nice, Kimberly?
Yeah.
Nice. You're 21. What's up?
I can't seem to be able to make friends with females. Like, the only friends I really have are, like, when I have a boyfriend, I'll make friends with those girls, and then when I break up with him, you know, like, the relationship with those girls will kind of disappear.
Yeah. You're one of those chicks who doesn't like other chicks.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I'd like to have...
They don't like you either.
Do you trust women?
Pardon?
Do you trust women?
See, I don't know about that, because, like, I had a friend, and then I got mad at her because, She was taking advantage, but forgetting about me or whatever.
What does that mean?
She was gonna forgetting about you?
Well, you know,
I think
like
I need a cure for
neglecting
that.
You.
Neglect that's the word. Neglecting me, like, you know, her boyfriend would ask me, can you drive us to the movie theater and like
chicks are very competitive with each other.
Yeah, but their expectations are like sometimes.
Hey, I know how to do. Have you ever gotten on with another girl?
No.
Try it, Bunny.
I had another friend who was...
Play, get the boobies out.
Was
you know,
female,
go to town.
And it turned out that she actually was lesbian.
Yeah.
And then that was like, you know, like...
Well, you need female friends and you need guy friends.
Yeah.
And you've got
to
find a way...
get one of those chicks in the sack.
You've got to find a way to open up in a trusting way to some female friends and make better choices with whom you're going to befriend.
Yeah,
and realize... something's up with your relationship with your mom. Something not so good.
Oh, really?
What is that? I mean, like, I think my mom and I are tight, I guess.
Really? But she's a woman.
Yeah, I mean...
And who are you kidding? Really?
My mom confides in, I mean, about all the five of us kids, like, she'll, like...
Yeah, but you may not like that. She may parentalize you.
She tells them all that, by the way.
And
you're
she,
the special one.
Yeah, but she may just be making you be there for her rather than she be there for you.
I think she's doing that, and I tell her, like, I don't want to hear about her problems and stuff.
Yeah, that's abusive, in fact, for mom to do that.
Wow.
Those are her problems, not yours.
So Kimberly,
you're not her friend.
Hold on, Adam.
Yeah,
Drew,
like,
you're in the zone.
Between her and my dad because they don't have a good relationship.
Well, you're not buddies. She's
does she
your
ever
mom.
Say stuff like, you know, your dad wants a piece and mama's tired, get in there?
Oh, no, because they're just living together because they have five kids.
Well, that's good because that would be abuse too, right, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to be a doctor to know
and
that's
sometimes
abuse.
Sometimes when I make friends, I mean, sometimes when I try to make friends with girls, I feel like I'm hitting on them.
Ooh.
Because you have unresolved lesbo issues.
No.
Get the boobies out. Get the boobies out. Play with them.
No, I agree. Boobies out.
It's probably that you're so desperate to be close to someone that...
you come across a little desperate.
Yeah.
What do you like with your boyfriends there, honey? You got a little stalker in you?
Do you? You go a little nutty on your boyfriends, Kimberly?
Hiding in the bushes?
I guess I might, you know.
Oh, that's Ooh. Beautiful.
Psycho.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know what you mean, but...
I love the psycho girls. Oh,
yeah,
oh,
makes you feel special.
They're pistols in the sack, my friend. Love them.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to take them to church because they'll cause a ruckus.
Oh, yeah, I don't go to church.
A ruckus.
Yeah, they'll start Something speaking happened? In tongues.
You want to tell us a story, David?
Aping and clowning. I like the kooky girls, though, I do.
Is there a story?
Oh, jeez.
So what should I do to, like, try to, you know...
You date comedians, female comedians?
Hold on. Kimberly.
Yeah.
Not that kooky.
Just look, just be a little more trusting with women.
Well, and, I don't know how to even make
it. All right, I don't. Listen, I'm that guy
you know
your
what it
whole
is?
Life.
It's the voice. It's the voice.
Just find yourself a female who
Hey, guys, I see
you.
Dr. Drew's playing with his little stick-up papers. Your eyes are rolling in the back of your head, Adam. Let's get focused, guys.
You're right.
It's the fourth quarter. Let's go. Fight all the way to the end. We're saving babies.
Right.
Next caller, Chuck. What's your problem?
Let's talk about Felching again.
Oh no! Come on, man. I surrender. I'm sorry.
Claire.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
You're 26.
Yes.
You're on with a dear friend, David Alan Greer.
How are you, Claire?
I'm not doing so well. How are you, David?
What's the matter?
I just came back from the hospital. My brother tried to commit suicide again for the second time last night.
Mm-hmm. How did he try that?
Well, both times with pills.
How old is he?
He's 23.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of at a loss of what to do. I mean, I know that typically the pattern is that people who try to commit suicide do it several times before they succeed. And we really don't know what to do. He suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder,
among other things.
A history of depression?
Pardon?
A history of depression? Does he have a history of depression?
Yeah, he does.
Is he an addict?
But the very first time that he tried to commit suicide was just 2 months ago.
Pills?
Are you close with him?
Yeah, we're very close.
All right, let me ask you one other thing. Are there any other members of your immediate family that suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder or depression?
I would say probably my grandmother suffers from manic depression, and my father probably has some OCD.
Right. So you want to tell her there's nothing you can do?
Well, no, there's a lot you can do. It's a heritable disorder to some extent, but... You said among other things. So he's got OCD.
He's got OCD. I think he's got some manic depressive tendencies.
Yeah. What about personality problems?
He has some aggression.
Aggression.
There are lots of things that I think that he hasn't really fully been diagnosed
with. Have they given him a name for his personality situation?
Is he under treatment?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Was he hospitalized last attempt?
Pardon?
Was he hospitalized his last suicide attempt?
Yeah, he's still in the hospital now. He's in the ICU.
No, his previous suicide attempt.
Oh, his stomach was pumped, and then they took him to the psych ward for 3 days.
3 days. He ought to spend a few weeks on a psych ward, sounds
like. Yeah, I know.
Does he have insurance that will cover that?
I think he does. The problem is, last time he was there, nobody came to see him. There wasn't a social worker, there wasn't a psychiatrist, nothing. They just
Why
discharged
don't you
him.
Try a different hospital, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the plan this time.
Hey, Claire?
Yes.
I got a couple questions. What pills did he take?
The first time he took some of the medication that he was on, he took Klonopin and he took some Nautin. This is the last time he took some veterinary tranquilizers and he took some aspirin.
I see. And who discovers him?
He usually calls my mom.
Oh, so he does it and then he makes the call.
Yeah, he does it, but then he barricades himself in his room.
I see. So he's crying out for help, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that we don't know what the next step is.
Yeah. Well,
he needs intensive
psychiatric care.
I would tie a cinder block around my waist.
You can try the hospital.
Shoot myself in the head while I'm standing on a bridge.
Where was he hospitalized before?
If you're really trying to take yourself out.
Where was he hospitalized, Claire?
Where was he hospitalized before? He was at Northridge, and now he's at Valley Prez, but I don't think they have a psych ward.
Yeah.
So, I think long-term care may be the solution, but...
Well, I'm not talking about long, necessarily. I mean, unless there's some personality disorder that is just profound, but at least a longer course of intensive treatment.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Claire, sorry, brother, screwing your life up, too, by the way.
Thank you.
And everyone's got a pain in the ass family members bringing them down with them.
Well,
what is that?
You guys are preaching today.
Oh, yeah.
I like your stuff. You came back, man. You came back.
We're up on our apple box. Okay. longer than a couple days.
Wow.
And, you know, it's always weird, and I don't want to make light of it, but the people that try to kill themselves and then make the phone call at the same time, they're obviously disturbed.
That's a lot of aggression.
Yeah, yeah, those are acts of aggression. Those are the same kids that then turn that aggression on other people.
Oh.
It's true. You know what, Dr. Drew? You are so wise. These high school shootings, here's what I think. That is, for a kid that age to shoot up other kids, I think that it's an act of suicide.
No, it's...
Absolutely.
Not normally, but in other circumstances, that child would have tried to kill himself. Mm-hmm. But it goes the other direction when they see that option.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Back in the day, they would have just killed themselves. Yeah, I mean, think about all those high school age teen suicides you would hear about. A certain percentage of those are turning into school shootings and are no longer teen suicides anymore.
That's precisely what's happening.
But it is a suicide because obviously when you're 16 years old and you're saying, I'm going to have news footage of me taking out 15 classmates, you know you're going in prison. You'll never get out.
Here's the element, too. They never run away. They never try and get away. They surrender or kill themselves.
Yep, that's right.
Virtually, it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
There is an interesting, and this ain't it exactly, but it reminded me of something. There's an interesting form of suicide where you try to get somebody to kill you.
Yeah.
Like police have to deal with this. Yeah. They go out in front of the police station. They start waving around a pistol that's carved out of soap and wait for some sniper to take them out because of their religious beliefs or because of whatever sort of internal convictions or whatever they got going on. They can't do it themselves.
Right. You know, there's another phenomenon. It's not where you try and get someone to kill you, but just do you want to get a really badly beaten is you get in a car and you like race away from the police.
Yeah, like
they call it like Rodney King did. Yeah, which was basically that's what the police contended that he really was trying to get them to be.
He just wanted attention.
Yeah, he just wanted attention.
He craved batons.
Y'all can't catch me now.
Yeah. Next time, though, if you're going to try out run the cops, you got to get a little something better than a Hyundai Excel.
I know.
Especially when you're a 300-pound dude and you got four brothers in the car with you.
That car's
got about 85 horsepower, and he had about 1,500 pounds worth of brother in the car with
him. Police were coming from all
the They're running up
the
next to the car.
Whoop ass. Dr. Drew, you seem to be on a healing mission.
Yeah, he doesn't care about Rodney.
After the break.
Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do voluntary body modification?
Right. Haven't done much yet, but I'm very interested.
You're looking into it?
Yeah. Right now I have my ears stretched up to about a half inch.
Right. You mean like the big plugs in the earlobe, you mean?
Right.
The progressive circles.
Yeah.
Right. Beautiful. And in the future I'm looking towards, I think it's called a tongue frenectomy to remove the tongue webbing and elongate the tongue and then ultimately for a tongue splitting.
Nice. Oh,
Have you seen the guy who split his penis?
Yeah, there are a few of those out there.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
I've actually met a few guys like that in person. So
Nice.
There's also I think it's a French...
We call that filet penis.
That's beautiful. Right.
There's a French move that goes on with the scrotum. It's called the sac le bleu. it's where you actually stretch the scrotum out until it gets down to the knees. And then you can pull it up over your head.
All right, now this is true. There is a religious sect in India where the guys stretch their penises up to 36 inches. They roll them up and keep them in sex. Of course, they can't get erections or anything. They're just like huge and long.
Yeah. Indians do that with their nails, too. They're a weird group over there. Actually, hey, Josh?
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
All right.
Why?
Where are you calling from, by the way?
Fruitland, Idaho. It's a little town.
Yeah. Fruitland. They named the town after you, or did you move there after it was named?
What kind of chicks do you date, man?
Actually, my girlfriend is I'm religious. I'm a strong Christian, but she is too, and she's not into it, but she's okay with me being into it.
All right, hold on a second, Josh, because I want to get more into this. It's an interesting thing, this sort of mutilation of one's body after this.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tracy Lords, and you're listening to Loveline.
Did she come in?
Yeah.
Why can't I be here when the porno chicks come, man?
We just peeled David Alan Greer like an onion, and let me tell you, Adam, it ain't pretty.
I'm trusting that you keep our little secret.
It ain't pretty what's going on inside of that.
Mama,
man.
I got a little scared of you. I'm making a phone call, Adam,
right? All right.
I'm going to call the mobile unit here.
Yeah, let's get it. Call a helicopter. Forget about a van. All right, David Alan Greer, our guest tonight.
What's up, baby? 15 minutes. All you sick and injured people, call up Love Line because we're going to heal you up.
Dag Tuesday nights, 8:30 NBC. I want to talk a little more to young Josh over here, who's into the body modification. Now you say you're Christian, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Correct. And doesn't this isn't your body a temple or something?
I do believe in everything, but I also believe that my body's a temple and I have the right to however I want.
This is the great sort of
aspect of religion.
Yeah, it's like I believe in every word in the Bible except I choose to interpret.
Right. This,
except this one word here. Right. This is my.
Have you ever heard of the hammerhead, Adam?
No.
They take a piece of metal along.
Oh, yeah.
They insert it in the head of the penis.
Yeah.
And it grows. It's like a hammerhead shark.
That's nice.
It's nice. You know, the kids, everybody's doing it.
Hey, John.
Can I see yours?
So you got the ears. Now, you want to do the, what is that, the frenulum under the tongue?
He wants to, cut that.
You clip that, and then what do you get out of that?
Long tongue.
Yeah.
Does your tongue protrude further?
Yes. Then he wants to fork his tongue. He wants to split it.
Oh, do you want to fork it?
Right. Ultimately splitting it, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you may want to fork your tongue. I'd like to fork your ass. I'll tell you. All right. Little censor humor there.
Right.
Nice. Doesn't this seem odd, Josh, and so very permanent?
It does, and that was part of my question for Drew. You know, all these people who are doing it right now, you know, in 20 years, if they start to regret it, what are they going to look like?
Yeah.
Look at for
you're going to be talking to a therapist with your tongue all forked up, going, you don't know what it's like, man. I made a mistake. Now turn it.
Well,
back.
This is what we were talking about all during the break
too. Right. Yeah, you sound like Count Dracula your whole life. Well, I would have.
I don't want fangs anymore.
But we were talking about this during the break. Is that every 17-year-old has just all sorts of bizarre ideas?
Yeah. He's 19, but really, I thought I was going to be a pirate astronaut when I was. 19. I really did legitimately think that's what I was going
to do. We each had relationships that we would have signed on with the devil to preserve, and aspects of our life that we would have given anything to preserve that turned out to be just transient nonsense.
Here is your goal when you're before the age of 25. I don't care if you're 3, 13, or 21. Do not do anything that's permanent, that will be a lasting
monument.
A beacon to the rest of society about what a jackass you were at 19. That includes gender reassignment. That includes bad tats.
Tattoos.
That includes kids in often cases.
Marriages.
Bad marriages. All those great. Hey, that includes riding a motorcycle with no helmet when you're drunk.
Right.
All the things that can forever affect your life that you think is a good idea at the time, 17, 18, I guarantee you will.
That includes
back on.
Inviting friends on radio shows and making them puke.
That's right, Josh. Don't ever do
Don't
that.
Don't ever do that,
Josh. I'll keep that in mind.
All right, Josh. Really, just listen. You want to screw around a little with yourself, fine.
Have
but
you,
that's
have
big
you
permanent
heard of the,
stuff.
The tingling?
No, what's that?
Tingling is they put a bell in your butt.
And every time you break away and a cow chases you?
Yeah, ding, ling, 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 ling. It's nice. All the kids are doing it.
Where the hell did you come up with that one?
I don't know.
Maybe one of those, I think they got to come up with those whistles and go, whoo, whoo,
yeah, whoo.
Kazoo butt.
Sam, you're 23. What's up?
First of all, the singer with the 100 kids is Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins, yeah.
For what it's worth.
How many kids did Screamin' Jay have?
I don't know. Screamin' Jay's kids, how many showed up? I don't know.
That was like into the 90s.
Yeah.
All right.
And I had a question for David.
Yes.
Didn't you? You played a character called Don No Soul Simmons. Did you not?
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak
long
tree.
Ago.
It's been three long years. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you, developed that character yourself or if that was written for you or if.
It was written and I auditioned against O.J. Simpson. I beat him up for the part.
Oh, wow. Really?
And, yeah, John Landis directed
it. Is that on? Was that Amazon Women?
Amazon Women on the Moon. Yeah. It was many, many years ago.
I always associate you with that because that's what I first saw you in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was written, but I did come in. I came in and I sang the Three Dog Night song.
Oh, really?
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Oh.
Who wrote that song? Man, those are the stupidest
songs. Yeah, it's a ridiculous song. Well, the guy was pretty high on heroin most
Chuck
of his
Negron,
career.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Chuck's doing well now.
Yeah.
He's doing really well.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't know Eli's coming. Mm-hmm. Hey, Sam.
Eli's coming. Girl, you better hide your love away.
Nice. Yeah, that's one me and David could hook up on in a karaoke session.
Well, this is Adam's boxing music.
Oh, Three Dog Night? Yeah.
Come on. It's Three Dog Night. Now punch.
No, but I do Mama Told Me Not to Come. That's my Three Dog Night.
Yeah, that's the theme song for your life, isn't it?
Candy?
Yeah?
You're 16. What's up?
14.
Oh, 14. Sorry. What's going on?
I want to have a threesome with my boyfriend, but I'm not sure. I've heard some things about it not being safe to do at this age.
Are you having sex with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
That's not so safe already.
How old's your boyfriend?
15.
All right. Don't have the threesome. Don't do it. You'll regret it.
Mm. Yeah. Why?
They seem so fun.
Yeah. Were you sexually abused when you were like 8?
No.
What
age?
Okay, can you ever have a threesome and not be twisted, Dr.
At 14?
Well, okay.
But I've never been sexually abused.
Tell him, baby, tell him.
Let me give a little fight analogy here, a little boxing analogy, as a homage to our guest, David Alan Greer. Let me explain something to you young ladies. You, at 14, don't want to get thrown in to a threesome. It's like when Marvis Frazier got tossed in with who beat the cramp? Well, first Holmes beat him pretty good, but he also got tossed in with Tyson, or somebody got tossed in with Tyson. You get tossed in too early, you get permanently damaged.
Right.
And it goes on your record. When you're a young fighter, they take you along slowly, give you some tomato cans, try to build up the record a little. Some of you girls that we talk to, and I say girls because there is a double standard in this society, by 15 or 16, you know, you're 4 and 26 and have some brain damage. You know what I mean? Slow it down a little. It all goes on the permanent record.
You know what, Adam? You're preaching to the converted right here, my friend, but I think you may have lost a little honey bunny there.
I'm sorry. Candy?
Let me tell you something, honey. When you don't swallow in the corner, you swish and spit out. Now, when you're in a relationship, don't take a gut punch. You want to go to the head, but you work the body. That's how you knock them out.
When Ernie Shavers fought Archie Moore in 71, you remember that?
Yes.
Go on a break.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Nice.
Now, Candy, slow down and don't get pregnant. Get on some birth control.
Please.
All right?
And we also use condoms. All
right. Okay. Excellent. All right.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Yep. Well, there you go. Another fantabulous night of Loveline over and done with.
What are we
going
to do without David Alan Greer here?
I don't know, man. You're going to sink, baby. Listen, I got to get to the Toyota Grand Prix. Adam?
Yeah.
Give a brother a shout-out, man. Give a brother a shout-out. I want to apologize for that little message.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be humiliated. Dag, Tuesday nights, how dare you, sir? I'm a B/C celebrity myself. Tuesday nights, NBC, 8:30. Dag, everybody. Watch that show. Support the friends of Loveline.
And, Drew, how, you don't have any, you usually have like 4 or 5 other jobs going.
I'm doing that Men Are From Mars, Men Are From Venus thing in the morning. And then I'm doing my practice.
All right, man. I'd like to come on that show.
You want to come on it?
Yeah, when you got like women who love too much. I mean, but some cutie pie, so you know what I'm saying.
Where you on with your girlfriend? How about that?
Oh, my girlfriend. Oh, God bless her.
Elvira?
God bless her. She's beautiful. Elvira's very attractive, you know.
She was, yeah. All right, we're gonna wrap the show up. Everybody.
Look out!
Brian Herta in here tomorrow night. Race car driver Brian Herta. Talk to him, and we'll see the Grand Prix this weekend.
Isai Morales is a friend of mine. He's going to be here next week.
Yeah, he's a little nutty. So until next time, Sam Crow for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. What's David Alan Greer used to get laid?
Roofies, baby!
Is
plop,
it
plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what relief it is.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.